There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch, Jones,
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, yes, it is.
You like that Manning, don't you, Lip? You like playing Pastor Manning. I like that. Well, it's the Dutch Jones radio program. It's been 22 hours since our final moment on the air yesterday. It's Friday, June, what do I got there, 18th, Lou?
Yeah.
June 18th. It's too small for my old eyes to see this. I get way back here, and then I can see it. It's 5:01 p.m. Pacific time. if you're listening then, it is live, and you can call in. We are a call-in show, regardless of how it sounded the last few days. 559-561-8222. You could just stuck it under your plate. We're passing plates around the table here to the studio audience. My daughter's like, here, have this empty plate. Moments before going on, I chowed down on a cheese quesadilla and a half a glass of milk. Two things you're not supposed to eat when you use your voice for a living. When you go on, it creates mucus. So, can you hear the mucus? But we come to you live from the Church of Cahuilla in the Sierra Nevada region of Central California, just outside Sequoia National Park, which... Where did I put that newspaper? I get something I want to talk about in the local newspaper here that just infuriated me about 2 hours ago when I finally got the Friday. Well, it only comes out on Fridays. For those of you that don't know, Sequoia National Park was originally settled by Marxists. And they actually came from this Cahuilla Commonwealth where I am now. And they lived up and down this 12-mile stretch of the North Fork. They built the first road in. And they named the trees. And the General Sherman tree, which I like to call the Butcher of Atlanta tree, was originally named the Karl Marx tree. They had an angle tree and all that. And some people went up there this weekend and replaced the sign, and it says the Karl Marx tree. And the local newspaper, which is a communist rag, doesn't ever, has never printed one of my letters that I send in, and I put my address down and all the stuff we're supposed to do. But this anonymous letter that came in talking about how great it was that somebody put the Karl Marx sign up, to talk about the peace and fairness that was experimented here, how they worked hard together, which is all a joke. If you read the real annals of the Cahuilla Commonwealth, there was infighting, theft, slothfulness. Their monetary system collapsed because people were too lazy. Their monetary system was based on 15 minutes of work for a chit that you could take to the general store. The only reason that it lasted a decade or two was that Marxists from Europe were bailing it out. They're giving them bailout funds. So they put this in the paper today, and it's just, you know, the Karl Marx tree. And then it says, editor's note, as a rule, we don't publish anonymous correspondence, but the above was so intriguing this we had to share. I mean, flat out just admitting. It says, this is what the banner is on this newspaper. The Cahuilla Commonwealth, a journal for those who labor and who think. I mean, if it doesn't sound like the Communist Manifesto that was taken from, I don't know what is. And but you can go online, thecahuillacommonwealth.com. That's KahuillaCommonwealth.com. And one of the reasons we have our radio station is to counter that, because every evening from 5 to 9, we put Mark Kornke on. And at noon, and midnight, we run sermons.
Noon and
10 p.m. we run sermons that counter this kind of garbage, and anybody who's willing to listen does listen. Now, we're not trying to make a living at it. It's funny, you got a communist newspaper that sells ad space. Shouldn't they just be doing it for the betterment of the people of Three Rivers and Cahuilla and Kings Canyon? And, of course, they get a huge amount of funding from the state parks because they put all kinds of state parks information in here. So this communist rag that promotes the communist viewpoint, the Kauai Commonwealth, is funded by the government and by tourists that come through mainly that go to the hotels that place ads and things. So it's capitalism that funds it. And they're always bringing up how great it is. They don't like it because the sign in front of our building says 93.3 FM Vice Gerent Radio, the voice of the Kauai Commonwealth. And his newspaper, he says, is the voice of the Kauai Commonwealth. And he just hates the fact that we use that. Because, you know, we don't lie. We're not claiming to be journalists. We are definitely slanted towards the cause of Jesus Christ up here. And the republic form of government, not Republican Party, but the Republican form of government. You got to differentiate the two. We don't like Republicans either when they are not serving the Lord. but it's just kind of funny how these little battles, you can fight them even around your community. And I'm going to continue to fight this guy. Every time we go to the community meetings, he sits up front and always has some socialist dribble to put out, and then a bunch of us stand up and counter it. Warland says I should rename the tree to the Dutch Jones tree. Yeah, that would be funny. I should plant my own tree. I should go pick out some random. It's supposedly the oldest tree in North America. That's why that's so famous. And it's so dangerous. They've been talking about closing it off because when a pine cone falls out of this thing, it could kill people. And foreign tourists, you know, have been beamed in the head and stuff. So they've got a fence around it, and there's been talk about closing the area. Typical nanny states, you know, government type stuff. But, wow, I sound awfully tinny today. Am I? Oh, you know why? Is that still up over there? Turn it down just to, okay. Let me add a little bass here. Let me take out some of the high end. There we go. More low end, less high end. There. Now that's the Dutch Jones voice I like. I must accidentally turn one of the knobs on the equalizer. Now all that milk and cheese is starting to kick back. Well, it's Friday, and I don't expect a huge audience on the first replay. A lot of people like to listen to it Saturday morning. I get a lot of there's like a whole other set of listeners that are the people that work at night, or this is the dinner time for their family, and they listen to the replay, and I get all their emails. It's great. And they don't even know that the live people, who they are listening. And then I have all the guests, because I'll have a guy named Sully who emails me, who's looking to hook up with like-minded people in Southern California, and he just doesn't sign in. We make jokes about the people not signing in are really Nicholas and stuff, but I don't know. It could be one of his men. A guest just dropped out when I said that. Of course, with the delay, he hasn't heard it yet. There you go. Thanks, Olima. Yeah, I do have a voice that'll make a Wolverine purr. Do you have that sound effect, Lou?
Yeah.
I even had this voice when I was like 16, when I was working in radio at KFKA in Greeley, Colorado, which was the first radio station licensed west of the Mississippi, and I just did the news. I would just read news off an old teletype, like a 1950s teletype. And I'd have like 30-year-old women calling up going, "Hey, you want to meet?" And I'm like, "I'm 15 years old." And they're like, "No, you're not." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am." You know, so I'd get on there all the time after that and start telling them, "No, I'm only a 15-year-old kid. Leave me alone." although I do have to admit it was great for my ego, but most of them sounded like, "Hello, is this?" And the name I used back then was Sean Finn. "Is this Sean Finn? You sound like you look great." And I'm like, "Actually, I'm about 5 foot tall. I have uncontrollable flatulence, a huge scar on my face, and terrible acne all over my arms and head." And they go, "Oh, never mind." But that's how we dealt with it. That's how we dealt with it. So we are live. Men Patriots asking if we're live. I don't know what it is with you broadcast. Some people cannot get in live. They come early and they have to reset and everything. Well, our friend in the studio audience, Steve from Southern California, brought up a book. Now, you know that our group up here, our church, our like-minded friends are reading or recently finished or rereading the book Patriots by James Wesley Rawls, the founder of SurvivalBlog.com. That's SurvivalBlog.com. Yes, Men Patriot, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Let Men Patriot know he's on the live feed now. And he's got another book. Some of you guys know about the Teotihuacan, if I pronounce that right. I've always heard it's, yeah, Teotihuacan. It's not an Indian tribe in Ohio. The initials stand for the end of the world as we know it. And no, it's not an REM song, although I do think that song's funny, and it always runs in my head when I do these kind of shows. But he's got How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It, Tactics, Techniques, Technologies for Uncertain Times. And when did he originally write this? Let me see if in here. I just got it into my greasy little hands.
Last September
it came out, and it's on Plume Publishing, but you can find it on Amazon.com. Yeah, let me give you a look here. I mean, great idea. Let's go to the table of contents. Give you an idea. The Survival Mindset for Living in Uncertain Times, that's Chapter 1. Priorities, your lists of lists, and I've talked about that before. Keeping track of your lists. Of the things that you need, the things that you have, the things that you're acquiring, those types of things. Water, the key resource. The deep larder, your family's food storage. Larder is a Scandinavian word for just like storing, storage. You could use the word cache. Your deep cache would work, the French word. So larder doesn't mean anything secret or specifically. It's just it's more of a Scandinavian, Northern European word. I haven't heard it since I left Dakotas when I was a kid where my stepfather grew up. Fuel and home power, which is always good to cover. Gardens and livestock, which, you know, we talk about that here. Anything from the neighborhood cats up to Texas Longhorns or beefalo, if you want to be so adventurous. Medical supplies and training is another chapter. Communications and monitoring. Maybe I shouldn't tell them about this book. I could just go through by this book chapter by chapter and make it sound like it was my ideas. You know, I would never do that. I tell you, I stand on the shoulders of greater men than I. Home security and self-defense, firearms for self-sufficiency and self-defense. Okay, and then you've got your get out of Dodge, good, get out of Dodge vehicles, and the dreaded trip out of Dodge. Now, this term has been used a lot, and it applies to anything from a fanny pack that you keep in your desk drawer at work to a motorhome that's armor-plated to keep zombies out. To aircraft, if you've got that, to a boat, whatever it is. Your get out of Dodge, fill in the blank after that. Bag, vehicle, helicopter, whatever it is. Whatever that last line of equipment that is stored and cached and ready to go at all times and maintained. You don't take anything out of it. You don't, I forgot my utility tool. I'll go get it out of my get out of Dodge bag. No, you don't do that. And I'm pretty sure he hits on that in his book because I've heard him talk about it. I've read him. Again, if you go to survivalblog.com, you'll get all this.
Get the book on Amazon.
Yeah, the book's on Amazon.com. We tried to get books directly from him. He said, just go to Amazon. He's just one guy and he's too busy. Yes, Anthea?
I know why you're sounding low, because you want to.
No, I like it like that. Don't turn it up. I'm supposed to be real close to the mic. Here's Broadcasting 101. No, Anthea, no chocolate cake. I'm on the air. I can't bake you a cake. Later? No, you can't. I will bake a chocolate cake later. That's right. Dutch Jones does make chocolate cakes. I use Bisquick and cocoa powder. And she's got these instant microwave things that her mom bought that I think are for mom's work. So she can't. I just take Bisquick, chocolate chips, and cocoa powder. It's a recipe I learned in the Army, and that's what we do. That's how I make the chocolate cakes around here. But let's get back to the book. Just hang on. That's your mom's snack food for work, the microwave. I'll make you a Dutch Jones... I call it the Dead Duke cake, the John Wayne cake.
I thought peppermint hot chocolate was good.
Yeah, we use peppermint hot chocolate in the mix. Investing, barter, and home-based businesses, and it comes down to you. And, of course, like within the last book, he's got a really good glossary in here, so you can cross-reference and find stuff quick. Boy, there's stuff in here I haven't seen yet. Yo-Yo, I want to find out what that acronym
is.
Yeah, you on your own, that's what yo-yo is.
You on your own.
You on your own, that's like he did. What's up with Wilson up there on the hill, HD? What? He did? You know, shorten everything. You shorten everything and you make it simple. So that's a good book to get. It's going to be part of our show and tell, I think. I'll probably try and read through it all tonight. I'll be all bloodshot-eyed tomorrow at noon for our play date in the playground park down there, what we're doing. Yeah, Lou will have to. I'll give Lou a pointed stick to keep me awake. So, yeah, those of you that didn't catch it, the name of that book is How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. My only problem with that phrase is it's probably going to be something we don't know. So it'll be the end of the world as we never even expected. I got to come up with an initial for that one. The end of the world as we never expected. Because that's what it's going to be. You know, whether God's mighty finger of vengeance will burp out from the sun and shut everything down. Oh, what do you got here?
Two good movies for you.
Okay, two movies here from Steve, our Southern California contact.
It was on the History Channel.
Oh, yes, the day after disaster on the History Channel. I did see those. And what's this one? The day after Armageddon? Or after Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah, two good series on there. And we can we burn these? Can we rip these? And we'll make them available to people that make donations. We got a whole new set of DVDs for those of you that want to make donations over at the DutchJones.tk site. And if we have forgotten to send you something...
Some other things you can burn.
Because Lou is only one teenage boy, and he may have forgotten, and I may have forgotten. Oh, here's one. Yeah, Joan Vion. Vion?
Joan Vion.
Vion. I never pronounce it right. When central banks rule the world.
That's current.
Yeah, that's a current one. That's a good video. America's Choice, Liberty. These are videos I'm sharing with you that you need to look up.
That's three discs.
America's Choice, Liberty or Sustainable Development.
It also is
and this is a signed autographed version.
It also has Michael Kaufman talking about global warming and all that.
Right, yeah, yeah. Innocence Betrayed. That one I don't know. What is that?
That one's about... like Cambodia or the other countries, once they give up their arms, how genocide comes.
Oh, okay. So international disarmament treaties through the UN kind of stuff?
And what happens to the countries after they're disarmed.
Wow. So maybe, you know what, we should watch this Saturday night. We'll bring down a computer.
Okay.
And we'll, you know, because we can't have a campfire. They've told us we have a campfire, they're going to fine us here. They wouldn't give us a permit, yeah. So we'll watch a video. Oh, nuclear, biological, and chemical training, NBC. It's not just a television and radio network anymore. I remember that in the military. Ooh.
Two cassettes, but it's really, really good.
Yes.
Jeff Bennett.
We're going to have to make sure we have time to do that before you leave. The American Crisis 2, a Declaration of Independence for Life, for Our Life and Times, narrated by Jeffrey Bennett. And it's got a picture of Thomas Paine on the front. Thomas Paine is an interesting enigma of the American liberty movement. You know, he came up with... common sense, but on his deathbed he rebuked what he said about the not being a God part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's and that's the coolness and the greatness of our God, you know, that even in those last waning hours of your life, he gives you the wherewithal to take stock in your life and come to the throne of forgiveness. I love that. The End of the World as We Never Expected It. Teotihuacan. Teotihuacan, The End of the World as We Never Expected It. I like that. We got to launch some things here that the listeners and supporters of the show can have ownership over. It's our own little thing. Okay, hopefully those will balance there. Yeah, there's good. I got Patriots, King James Bible, Peter Hammond's book, and then all these videos stacked up on the soundboard. It's just the way we do things here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and then a communist newspaper setting off on the other end. But yesterday we talked about the duties of a Christian soldier and how we approach things, and I think I pretty much drove it home that anybody that tells us that that's not our right, that they're just they got something, they've got an agenda, they got an axe to grind. I'm still fighting the battle today on Facebook with members of my own family who are telling me that I'm twisting scripture, and I'm like, well, okay, tell me about John Calvin, tell me about these great reformers. I'm just repeating what they said. I'm not twisting anything. And then they're like, oh, and then they stop talking to me. Because they don't even know who these people are. They're Googling it. Who's John Calvin? You know, Martin Luther King? No, Martin Luther.
John Calvin.
Was he a country western singer? I don't know. He was an outlaw when he did what he did. You know, Tyndale.
Cost him his life.
He was burned at the stake. For getting the Bible into the hands of the common man, you know, writing it so the pig farmer could read it, as they said. So I'm not comparing myself to them. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying I'm not telling you nothing that wasn't written with a big pen, you know, before the Gutenberg press and ink. You know, these are things that greater men than I have put together, and greater men than I have paid the price for it. If I can stand in their shadow, I'm very thankful for that and of what they risked, but what it brought us as far as liberty goes. So, you know, just to kind of dovetail that into what we're going to talk about today, we are going to talk about the whole get out of Dodge. You know, some people call it a bug out bag. Bob, you know, how's Bob doing? Oh, Bob's in the closet. Have you checked Bob lately? Yeah, I rotated all the stuff out of Bob when we did the batteries in the smoke detectors. When you change your clocks, you rotate your Bobs or your goods. You get out of Dodge.
Your batteries.
Yep. Yep, change all your batteries out, get fresh ones. I know it's expensive, but you'll thank me later. And remember, don't store your batteries and your electronics in your Bob. It only takes a couple seconds to put them in, and you won't, and you'll thank me later. I like using little plastic, rigid plastic. I put them between the contacts, right, so you can just pull it out. And they're doing that. I'm not showing any pictures today.
I am.
Oh, I'm not seeing anything. Oh, that's really weird. Yeah, I'm not seeing any pictures. That's okay. But you can place a piece of cardboard or a piece of plastic, something that will insulate the circuit, keep the circuit open.
That way the batteries are still in there with it.
And the batteries are isolated, and you just pull that out real quick, and your FRS radio, whatever else you've got, your night vision goggles. Because we've all done it. We've all used a remote controller, something that we haven't used for a while, open it up, and it's just full of that fuzzy white powder. It looks like somebody's been smuggling cocaine in your remote control, and it's really a... I don't even know what technically it is, but it's a corrosion buildup, like on your car. And it'll ruin a $300 ham radio quicker than it would if you throw it in the water, because it'll corrode all the contacts, it'll eat through. So when you get your bug-out bag with all the electronics, whatever you decide to have in there, that's the other thing. A bug-out bag is probably the most intimate of all survival gear bags. It's what you have to sit down and say, what is the bare minimum that I need to survive, to get from here to a place of refuge, to my next cache, or simply just get out of the town. What do I need? It can be a fanny pack, you know, with a compass in it to let you know where you're going, a folded up tightly map of the area, and then some granola bars, a Gerber tool,
and some type of shelter.
A shelter, one of those disposable survival tents.
You can use a poncho for a shelter.
Poncho and the you know, no, you don't even need the liner. Just it's going to be miserable, it's going to be cold, it's going to be lonely, but you've got to get out, and that's the only thing you can grab, because they're kicking in the front door, they're burning down your neighbor's house, and you're heading out the back door into the hills.
Like communist Russia.
Yeah.
The neighbors would say the KGB would be breaking down the front door, and they'd be running out the back
right.
door.
Right. You know, what do you do when ATF comes knocking? What are you going to grab? And I'll tell you what I put in mine. I started to already. I have a simple plastic compass. It's not even a topo map of the area, but it's just a general map of the area. I have one magazine of 45 hollow points. I have some loose ones in there floating around because I've always got my 45 accessible. I've got four or five granola bars. I've got a survival straw for drinking water. I don't put water in it. It's just carrying weight. I have a bolt of waterproof fabric that's camouflage. It's kind of like my poncho. I mean, I could cut a hole in it and make it a poncho, but let's do it. I keep a couple zip ties in there, parachute cord. I have a phony survival Swiss Army knife. I mean, it's got everything on it I need. The only thing is, a lot of people buy those cheap Swiss Army knives, and the can openers don't work. Go ahead. Studio audience has them.
Baleen wires, a tripwire is good. So something breaks, you can wire it together.
Tripwire.
Also, blanket pins. So if a jacket zipper breaks or something breaks on your pack...
It said blanket pins. Is that what we call safety pins?
A horse blanket.
Oh, the big pins. Like I have on my kilt.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kilt
exactly.
Pins. I have safety pins in there. I have a needle and thread, and one spool of green thread, and a couple needles in there, and then covered with tape so they don't stab me when I reach in there. I have a P38 can opener in there in case I salvage some canned foods or somebody, you know, out of the goodness of their heart throws some Campbell's soup at me as I run by in their backyard and I catch it. Let's see what else is in there. Oh, I've got a tinder box.
Several things.
That is, yeah, multiple layers of fire starting. Fire can save your life in any condition. You don't want to make a big white man fire either. So I've got a small tinder box that is made out of a mince box. I can't remember the name of the mince now.
Altoids.
An Altoids can. I got some dryer lint in there. I've got some strike anywhere matches that I keep in a container. I've got a magnesium fire starter that actually that fits around my neck with a survival knife, a whistle, and another P-38. P-38 can make a great weapon, too. You dig it in. P-38 is the military denotation for the can opener. It's not the pistol.
Also the P-51 that sold it.
Yeah, the P-51's even bigger. It's kind of funny. They're both named after aircraft.
Well, the
yeah.
P-51's called the John Wayne one.
Well, you know, with the long one, when I was in the Army, they came out with the long one. It was because the women were complaining the little one hurt their hands.
Break their nails.
Yeah, break their nails on the little one. I saw people just, you know, it didn't matter, but some kind of multiplier. I have a Gerber tool that's always on my belt, but then I have cheaper ones that go into my packs in survival. I have, oh boy, I would estimate 50, No, maybe not 50 feet. Maybe 30 feet of 100-pound test fishing string, hooks, some weights. I don't use bobbers or anything in there because I can make a bobber out of just about anything that floats. Yeah, out of a stick, wrap it around a stick for gaining. I've already told you that I have a survival knife around my neck, which is a hawkbill skinning knife. It's in the pouch, but I take it out and put it around my neck in case I get separated from my pack. And the pack I'm talking about, everything, this all fits into an oversized fanny pack. It's one that I got at Walmart. Go ahead, studio.
Are you sure with the medical supplies to have moleskin? Because if you're not used to walking much, yeah, you get some nasty blisters.
Yeah, if you don't wear your boots, your long walking shoes, you know, if you work behind a desk and you change, you know, you're like Mr. Rogers, you change your shoes 3 or 4 times a day, depending on what you're doing. Moleskin. I've had like 4 or 5 different sources, and I have to tell you this, I don't have any. I have athletic tape. I have a couple things that I used when I was in the Army, but
duct
I want
to...
Yeah, well, duct tape's a pain coming off, though. It will take chunks of skin. I have a survival training in Colorado I was doing, and someone sprained their ankle, and they got real creative with duct tape. When they got to the emergency room, you could hear the screams in the lobby off this young man. It took chunks of skin off. You have to wrap it in something before you put the duct tape on. You don't want the duct tape to come in contact with the skin. I've used duct tape to stabilize someone on a backboard, but you flip it over so that the non-sticky part, or you crease it so that it's folded over on itself. We've done that. But different duct tapes, 100-mile-an-hour tape, that kind of thing. Go ahead.
Also, field dressings, you know, the big ones that open up so if something happens, the tape from glass or whatever, you can bandage it up without having to get out 500 little butterfly bandages or whatever.
Sure. I don't know if you can hear him there, but I'm trying to make it so you can. I back away from the mic because it's good advice. My sound engineer has abandoned me and is now reading a book. What do you got there? Is that your New Testament? Yeah, good. But and then getting into the medical stuff, you know, the battle dressings, if that's all you have, you know, whatever you can get, you put it in there. You keep it in baggies. Keep everything separated in good baggies. Do not buy the cheap sandwich bags at the dollar store. I know a lot of people promote that. Get Ziploc bags because you're going to use them and reuse them for all kinds of stuff. I throw some jerky in there. I throw. I'm trying to think. This is a big one. It's their Nat Gear. It's a natural, kind of a light brown with dark brown twigs on it that I use for that fanny pack. Let's see. I've already said I got zip ties. I got shelter. Emergency blankets. I know they're not very tactical, but you can make them tactical by where you hide when you sleep.
You can also put the poncho over it.
Yeah, cover it with the poncho. Now, a lot of people are telling me, I don't have money to go buy a camouflage two-man tent. Buy the best color you can find and use your poncho or just cheap fabric. Go to Walmart, go to Michael's and get some camouflage fabric and some of those clothespins I told you that I carry and pin it when you set it up. And plus, the fabric's going to come in handy. I carry triangular bandages that are cut out of just camouflage fabric. I have green digital ones that I have. I use them everywhere. I use them when I weed eat and everything, but they're also in there folded up real tight. And that's just my first level get out of Dodge bag, you know. I've got bigger backpacks. I got the shoulder packs. You know, everybody that came out with the backpacks just have one strap, little cell phone holder right here, and it's like a student backpack. We got 4 or 5 of those that we buy at yard sales.
That'd be like Jack Bauer on 24.
I don't watch 24, but Jack Bauer has something like that. It's not like a Malibu Stacy or anything, is it? No, okay.
We sold the season of...
Yeah, we actually sold a whole season of 24.
It was like first five.
Yeah, Stacy won them on some country western thing, and we're like, we're not going to watch these sell. Sold them for like $80 on eBay, so that was pretty cool. But I watched the show once and then said, I don't really think I could watch the show because I'm going to get addicted and I don't own a TV, so it would be costly for me to watch it, so I stopped watching it. I put like a boar snake in there and a little bit of oil. The smallest little container of oil for my weapon, because I have a .45, you know, and that's going to be my primary weapon for bugging out if I have to run, because you don't want to be noticed. Low profile, stealth. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Is that Steve Voss?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. And we'll be right back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns
aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is a problem.
This is an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
That's the Wolverine purring. I have a pet Wolverine. His name's Woody. Woody the Wolverine. He's been declawed and defanged and descented. Okay, he's dead and he's in the corner. He doesn't really purr. He's a Wolverine. I've never tackled a Wolverine. I have fought a life and death struggle with a badger when I was 12. We flipped over a dead cow in the middle of winter, tied a rope around its stiff leg, and my dad backed the truck up, and sure enough, there was a badger under it, and I emptied every round of my trusty Marlin tube-fed semi-automatic rifle that I bought at, I think it was, no, it was some weird hardware store. Yeah, I'm overdriving. Let me bring it down here. And he played dead and then attacked me, and I ended up breaking the butt of the rifle over his head. And then I cut off his paws and wore them around my neck the next Monday to school and freaked everybody out. That was a little too much even for the little country school I went to. Thought I was some kind of Satanist having these two dead claws around my neck because they smelled horrible. Okay, well, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This is the second half hour of 4 half hours, being 2 hours of the entire program. You do the math. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on eBroadcast via the DutchJones.tk website, MySpace, Facebook. I have it down in the corner there. I don't do much YouTube anymore, but there's links there to get here. And I understand there are people rebroadcasting it. That's great. And then the second hour, 4 days a week, every day but Tuesday is the easiest way to put it. We're on Liberty Tree Radio. As long as the funds keep coming in, we can pay for the bandwidth. So you can help us out with that. Send us $5 at through the DutchJones.tk site, or send it to the post office box. You know, just hide it in a bar mitzvah card. Or you can just go directly to Liberty Tree Radio, and in the comment section, just write, hey, this is for Dutch, you know, and they're honorable men. They'll apply it to my account over there. Because I like knowing that we're on Liberty Tree Radio for that second hour. It's a different kind of audience, and I think that is our mission as Christian soldiers, is to reach people that normally wouldn't hear this kind of message. You know, a lot of them are Christians. I don't doubt that, but I don't think they've comfortably interwoven the two worlds like they should be. Well, we're talking about bug out bags. Where do you put a bug out bag? Well, usually someplace that's secure that the kids can't get to it, and where you won't be pilfering it to get, you know, some chapstick or sunscreen, which should be in there too. I'm only giving you the basics. I'm giving you the skeletal work. You put in there what you think you need. If you have special needs for meds, like I have meds that I take for diabetes, so I keep extra in there. You know, hopefully when, you know, the end of the world is we never expected it hits.
Tiatawani,
EI, or we'll have to figure that one. We'll have to, you know, my diet will change, and I'm continuing to lose weight now, and hopefully I'll be even healthier when that happens. So it won't matter. I won't be battling it, because the few scraps I do get to eat, you know, I'll be a lean, mean fighting machine. That's the only way I'm going to be able to diet, end of the world stuff, I guess. Yeah, I'll be true to my diet. I won't be sneaking Pepsis in here and there. Actually, I hate Pepsi. I don't drink a lot. I'm not a sweets guy. My problem is potatoes. Potatoes have a lot of sugar in them. But make sure you put meds in there. Another pair of glasses. If you need them to shoot, walk, eat, or identify your loved ones, have a backup pair of glasses. Have some type of optics in there where you can see people coming from far away off. Monoculars, things like that. Also, think about rescue. Let's say this isn't Uncle Sam coming to put his big boot around your skinny little neck, but it's an 8.8 earthquake, and you didn't listen to my advice, and you're down in Mexico on tour, you know, on vacation, but you brought this along with this, you know, less the pistol, and you need dust masks, maybe a sturdy pair of gloves, some eye protection to go digging your loved ones out of the debris of the hotel that just collapsed on them. You know, dust masks, 4 or 5. They're also good for starting fires if you need them. Coffee filters. I put a bunch of coffee filters in baggies. They are one of the most versatile things, and just by the nature of their texture. What you can use them for, pre-filtering water. You can use them for toilet paper. You can use them to stop bleeding. I've tested them. You know, I said, hey, let's try that coffee filter. They work great. You know, they absorb just like anything else. They're fire starters. You can use them. I don't recommend using them as fire starters after you've used them as toilet paper, though. let's see. And this is more for a backpack here. This is out of How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It by James Wesley Rawls. I keep trying to say James Wesley Harding, because James Wesley Harding was this vicious gunfighter in the Time Life series of books. Remember that? Sleeping bag, if you've got one, you know, those nice compression bags. This is where you might want to skimp a little and get one of the nice ones and just don't open it. you know it's there. Some kind of jacket, depending on the climate and the environment that you're in. I said gloves. Boots. You might want to keep a sturdy pair of boots right underneath it there that are broken in. Not new boots. We've gone over that in the show before, so you should know about that. Your poncho we talked about. A small tarp, if you can get one, 6 feet by 8 feet. And again, don't skimp. Don't go to the dollar store and get the thin mylar or thin plastic stuff. You know, plan this out and get good. Financial and personal papers. Well, I don't really have any personal papers anymore, and I don't have any financial papers, but if you do.
Or insurance papers on your vehicle.
Insurance papers on your vehicle, things like that, because you don't know what. It may not be a complete collapse of law and order, and they may, you know, who knows. So keep that kind of stuff. Cash and a roll of quarters for making phone calls. Where does he live that there's payphones still?
The idea of cash-wise, so you can
There's payphones on the freeway.
Those aren't payphones, Anthony, on the freeway. Those are emergency call boxes. Go straight to the highway patrol. I like to pick those up every once in a while and order a pizza, and they get real mad. And silver, maybe some junk silver in there. You know, I would recommend that. Roadmaps, like I said, first aid kit, insect repellent. Now, like at a certain time of day here for about 30 minutes, the mosquitoes have a target of opportunity on us, a window of opportunity before the bats come out. Before, you know, it's dark enough for the bats to come out, the mosquitoes come out a little bit before them, and they start feeding on us. Once the bats come out, they all disappear. But a little bit of insect repellent would be good there, whatever. I've tried the citronella lotions, all that. The only thing that works for me is like 180% DEET. And I mean, it's bad for you. It smells horrible. You get it on your hands. You eat it, you know, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that's the only thing that works for me.
Troutman talks about Skin So Soft from Avon.
Skin So Soft from Avon. We use that one a lot. In fact, when we had the four-wheel drive club slash militia slash, you know, emergency services volunteer group, Gadzooks, it's still around. We had a couple ladies in there that sold Avon, and they started bringing that stuff. We're like, what is that? You know, they're putting it on. We're getting eaten alive because we're trying out all this other stuff, you know, hanging chunks of bacon off ourselves, you know, whatever. You know, all these home remedies that don't work. And that was it. That worked really well. Plus, it makes you smell nice, and you have nice, soft, supple skin. Fire starting kit. Leatherman type tool, we went over that. A utility knife. Now I said like a survival knife, a skinning knife. I just carry on my web gear, I have an Air Force survival knife. They're like $40. They got it looks like the big lug nut on the end, the leather handle, you know, a saw back. Nice knife. I got it at a pawn shop for like $30. I've been seeing them all over the place for even cheaper than that. Ontario Knives is a good company to get one from.
You can get some OK survival knives at gun shows.
Gun shows are a good place to pick them up. Cold Steel has some really freaky stuff there. What's the one that you just got your knife from, Luke?
BudK.
BudK.com. Yeah. So it's B-U-D, the letter K.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 10 to 15 MRE entrees, just the entrees. This is for a backpack, folks. You can put a couple of those in a fanny pack. Extra socks and underwear.
In a Ziploc bag.
In a Ziploc bag because you will chafe. That's us.
You're on.
Well, we're live. You still got the pictures up?
No.
Okay, so I'm seeing something else here. Let me just stop mine. I'm seeing what was done before because it says I got pictures up and it says the 18th. So, but we're rolling, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we are up. And people that lost connection, I apologize. You'll catch it in the lag time. So extra socks and underwear. And you change them and rinse them out and dry them as best you can. Yeah, hang them up. Yeah, hang them up. I had it in my head. Hang them off the back of the backpack as you walk along. Even in cold weather, you know, the sunlight hitting them is going to do something. A broad brim hat. I have, what's the name of that hat that I have?
Tilly hat.
A Tilly hat. They say it's the greatest hat ever made. Seems fine. It's got little pockets in it for survival gear. But just a boonie hat will work, yeah. A baseball cap. Two canteens or a Camelback hydration pack. Canteens are great. I love water. I carry two canteens and a Camelback hydration pack. And I also stick little hydration electrolyte packets in there, all kinds of stuff. There's all different brand names you can get. What was the one you were telling me about?
It's called Vitalite now.
Vitalite is a...
REI and stuff.
Like REI, you know, Recreational Equipment International or whatever it is. You can get those things. sometimes just Kool-Aid's enough, you know, to make it a little more pleasant. Better than nothing. LED flashlight with extra lithium batteries, you know, the little round ones. Firearms or other weapons, depending on your local laws. We talked about that. A cell phone. I can't afford to have an extra cell phone in there, and I'm not going to depend on them where I'm at. I go another mile up the road, and cell phones don't work anyway. I lean to the left or to the right in this room I'm in now, and my cell phone doesn't work. GPS, I do have a very old Magellan, but I don't depend upon it. I don't like GPS because they work both ways. It's another weighted thing that you have to have batteries for. Learn how to use the compass and the map that I told you about. Now, here they're saying a Bruton, a Brunton solar port.
Okay, I think we're back up.
Okay, he thinks we're back up. What do you see? You got stuff moving?
Yeah, it's going in the red.
Yeah, okay. Turn it down on yours. We're resetting here, folks. Gonna give it a minute here. Lou's trying to cool off his computer over there. We're just always dealing with gremlins. It's not that hot in here, though. I think there's something just wrong with your heat sink or something on that computer. Okay, Marlon, thank you very much for giving me a heads up. This recommends bringing one of those anamorphic roll-up camping solar panels. That's fine. I have old, rigid little ones that'll power my radio. A little bit of weight to them. I mean, no more than, it's less than a pound. And I just soldered on a little 9-volt connector. And you just flip it around. You can hook it to my radio. But I carry a crank-up radio now. So I don't really need a solar radio, a solar charging unit. But if you're one of those people...
Thanks for watching. You broadcast.
See, you heard it in the background here. I got to mute this. Okay, it won't let me mute it yet. Okay, I've just muted it. And there we go. Great. So you could do that if you want to, if you have that ability and you like that kind of technology. But I think it's better to rely upon primitive technologies first now. Basics. It was good enough for the pioneers, and most of them survived, right?
The Rangers.
And the Rangers, yeah. Anybody that doesn't have the funding, you know, we can't all be Navy SEALs, right? add-on kits. These are usually too heavy or bulky to carry in your backpack, but can be carried in your vehicle. Store these plastic tote bins to keep everything together and handy on quick loads. I like the ones that have the wheels on them. I have one out there that's nothing but food, and it's got wheels on it. And I know that I can grab that and go throw it in the back of a vehicle, tie it to Lou's belt when he's not looking, and make him drag it down the road if we're leaving on foot. Totes. Your camp and kitchen kit. Here's another set of lists, and we'll talk about it. Thank you, Orlin. Stainless steel eating utensils. I still have my old military-issued knife fork. Well, actually, I lost the fork somewhere in the building. Somebody used it and didn't put it back, so... we're going to be looking for that as we move our equipment around. Reusable plastic plates, we have those. They're beat to heck, but they last forever.
Pie tins can also work.
Pie tins, we have three or four pie tins. I also use those for starting fire on snow. If you don't want to clear all the snow to get down to the ground, you use a pie tin to start your fire in. So that's a good point there, thank you. Small grill or place over rocks. What I do in place of a grill, I carry a coffee can full of tinder and other survival gear that I've perforated with a church key. I punched holes all around it, cut a little opening out, and it's my portable stove.
Like when I made the Dakota hole?
Yeah.
Like a heavy gauge wire and just make a U-shape, set it over two rocks. That's all you need, just a
U-shape
piece of wire. Put your pot on.
U-shaped piece of wire that you can use. You don't have to. I'm always, like, if I see a dead stove along the highway, I go get the grates out of them. There's a bunch of them laying out there because I figure if I'm sheltering in place, you know, I'll give them out to people here to make their own cooking fires. A coffee pot, for those of you that love coffee. Stacy had to get, you know, that typical blue, old-fashioned, speckled one. We got it at a yard sale for, like, $2. And we went and looked, and they're, like, $45 at the big survival places, you know. Several large serving spoons, that way you don't spread disease. Believe it or not, even if it's your family, if everybody's scooping into the communal pot with their eating utensil...
You should have soap to keep your hands clean so you don't get yourself sick.
Sure, sure. Have ways to clean your hands. Maintain, in fact, rather than just maintaining, personal hygiene should be stepped up in a survival situation. Because it's usually the secondary diseases that kill people in these things after whatever disaster it is that hits. I love this one. Spatulas. I love spatulas. Something to flip your burgers. It stinks using your survival knife trying to do it. I always drop stuff through the grill. So you need a spatula. Kitchen knives. Rolls of heavy-duty aluminum foil. You can make your solar oven out of this stuff. So just put it in. Yeah, hobo dinners. I've wrapped stuff up. I used to do this one thing where I take potatoes, bacon, all kinds of seasoning, throw cabbage in there, throw whatever you want in there, seal it up inside of a aluminum foil and stick it in the ashes of the campfire, and then go out and do your hunting, your scouting, your patrolling. And when you come back, you got it. I've done all kinds of stuff. I've done desserts that way, diced up apples, cinnamon,
Bisquit,
yeah. I had a guy who used to make what he called his world-famous hamburger pie. He'd take Bisquick and just mix it all up with water with chunks of meat in it and throw it in the fire. It tasted pretty good. You don't need to carry around a huge Dutch oven when you do this. Mm-hmm. The earth is your Dutch oven, and the aluminum foil keeps it clean and together. Plastic wrap if you want to do that, but half-gallon Ziploc bags. Don't waste anything. What you don't eat for dinner, you'll eat it for breakfast cold. And if you've heard the show in the last couple of days, we're trying to teach that to one of our family members. Don't waste food. A long neck lighter, strike anywhere matches.
Also hurricane matches.
And multiple levels for starting fires. I'm gonna for those of you that are coming up to our play date in the park.
Dog and Pony Show.
The Dog and Pony Show, the show and tell.
Bring a bean sandwich.
Yeah, you know, don't bring a bean sandwich. Bring something to start fires with. We're going to get into that.
I'm gonna light the church.
Yeah, we're going to set the bamboo on fire and make the pastors, you know, get all mad. You should have bar of soap, small bottle of dish soap. You can go to the travel section at Walmart and get all these little bottles you need. You don't have to buy special high-priced ones. Get empty little bottles, containers, and take the stuff from under your kitchen sink and put it in there. Throw in a hand towel and a face cloth. And if you got a bunch of wet wipes, you know, you've absconded with from Kentucky Fried Chicken, use them. You can at least do a hobo bath, if nothing else, with those. Steel wool and scrub pads to keep your stuff clean. Remember, hygiene is critical. Paper towels, throw them in there, but don't, like in this house, paper towels are used like they're free, and I hate it.
When you go to McDonald's and get your burgers, save some of the napkins.
I remember when I first was living on my own at age 16 with a bunch of other teenagers that were self-emancipated, that's where all our toilet paper came from, was the BJ's drive-in down the street. We would just empty that thing when we go there to eat. And survival, survival, survival. Coffee filters, we covered that. Paper plates, I'm not big on paper plates, unless you're going to, you know, you can use...
Pie tins or whatever.
Yeah, pie tins are great. Clean them, it gives you something to do. You can punish people by making them do the dishes, Lou. Dutch oven with lid and lifting handle, a lot of weight. Cast iron skillets, I'm not big on those. I don't think they're necessary, but they're listed here. Let's say you got a motorhome or a mule. Then maybe salt, peppers, and other spices. Nothing kicks it up a few notches. You know, just plain potatoes with chunks of bacon in it. Sure, it's food, but why not spice it up? Okay. I'll just shut it. Yeah. Let's see here. Field food kit. Tote bins or bins filled with camping foods. And I was just saying, I've got one here with wheels on it that I roll out. It's just something I bought somewhere. Canned meats, rice, beans. We like the canned potatoes. People laugh at them, but they last quite a while. They're little. I dice them up and fry them. They come out okay. Chili's a big thing. Anything that can be a meal in a can. Ravioli. I know SpaghettiOs just did a massive recall, but Lou's been eating SpaghettiOs. And
he hasn't died yet.
He eats spaghetti, everything they have. What is the brand we get? Franco American or whatever
Pasta.
It is? Yeah, well, we get different brand names, but we got the one that's recalled and he's not dead. Sure. Packs of ramen. We buy about as many as we can get. We're not rich here. You guys know that. But we buy an extra couple cases of ramen every other week or so and we stash them. Yeah, we eat them when we go camping. We eat them when we go on hikes. You know, but we augment them. We throw vegetables in them. We throw chipped meat in them. We even throw jerky. Reconstitute the jerky in them.
We've got those tuna packs you can add to them.
We've got tuna packs. Stacy likes the salmon. She gets the salmon packs. I just don't trust it. I don't know why. I've never liked salmon. I'll eat tuna before I eat salmon. I know it's an unrealistic fear, but whatever. Power bars, Gatorade, or whatever else you prefer for quick meals. It's okay to throw a few candies in there now.
Hard
candies, stuff like that, you know, to keep your mouth nice and moist. Yeah, Lou's got nothing but nerds. He's going to live off nerds and Twizzler licorice. You know, things like that. Anything you can do just to keep going. I like seeds. You know, where I grew up in Colorado, we called it GORP. It's just mixed nuts, raisins, M&Ms, trail mix. But I just remember taking outdoor survival classes as a teenager. I was like, get your GORP out. Now's a good time to eat some GORP and rehydrate. You know, we're not going to stop.
They got big bags of it at Costco for like $10.
Yeah, yeah. Now everybody's selling it. We used to make our own. Chex Mix. Everybody had their own recipe. And we'd sit around the campfire at night comparing what was better, you know.
Trader Joe's has some real tasty ones.
Trader Joe's, yeah. Yeah, I've got some Trader Joe's stuff in there we got just to see what was fun. Shelter and camp kit. Thanks, PennDOT. I'm always talking about food. In a waterproof whitewater rafting bag, if you get it, you can get rubberized laundry bags. There's all kinds of stuff you can get. Paramilitary stuff. You can find civilian stuff that'll work. But if nothing else, the best, thickest Glad trash bags you can find.
We can double bag the trash bags.
Yeah, double bag them, you know, something like that. You want a full-size camping tent. You want all the poles and stakes, and I recommend that you set it up at least once a year to remember how to do it. You want your rope. You want a ground cloth tarp.
A rain fly that comes most of the way down instead of just up.
Yeah, a lot of the tents are shortening on your rain fly these days. And most of these tents aren't meant for inclement weather, the ones you get at Walmart or something for under $100. You can spray all the rain-resistant spray you want on it, But if you're out there 4 or 5 days in a constant rain, it's going to seep right through, so a rain fly helps.
Rain fly that comes almost down to the ground.
Almost down to the ground, and then you dig your little trench, your Boy Scout trench around it. And I always found in the Army it was best to dig your trench into the next tent down the hill from you, and that way it'd motivate him to get out and dig his trench. And the last guy in the company, you know, the platoon or whatever, he's all the water's going through him. Wow, that went fast. We're going to come back after the break. We'll be on Liberty Tree Radio. Please feel free to call in, 559-561-8225. We switch computers, and hopefully we won't lag or go offline. We'll have a weekend to take a break. We've exceeded our bandwidth. Maybe that's it. So after a couple of days, maybe it'll reset a little bit. So we'll be back. When we come back, we'll be on Liberty Tree Live Radio. Liberty Tree Radio, not Liberty Radio Live. See, too many stations. Go to DutchJones.tk. Check that out. Kick in there at the chip-in. We need to pay for bandwidth. And what are you playing now? Who's this? Steve Voss? What is it? What song?
Dixie.
This is Dixie. Okay, well, I'm going to shut up and let you guys hear it.
Early on, frosty morning with rain, look away, Dixie Lane. I was in Dixie, away, away in Dixieland. I'll make my stand to live and die in Dixie, away, away, away down south in Dixie, away, away, away down south in Dixie.
Now tell me right out loud, what are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover.
Government. There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats and Jones, Jones.
Radio. And now for something completely different.
Okay, we've gone live, but we're having all kinds of issues here. A couple people can't seem to get in. There's a huge delay. What I think it is, I think we've exceeded our bandwidth. And this is what happens. So we have to buy some more bandwidth, but we don't have the money. So hopefully, after 2 days of not using it, it'll come back down. So we're going to try and finish the show this last half hour. I don't see Ed Kornke in there. Maybe he's having trouble getting us, too. But we've been talking about what to do, what to get, how to arrange things, just basics, things that we think, well, not just we, but it's everybody thinks that we should have. I got it. And this is coming from, I'm reading out of directly out of the founder of SurvivalBlog.com, James Wesley Rawls' new book, or latest book, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. And right now there's some people having trouble hearing the live feed, which is strange. I don't know what happened to Roland. I'm not getting a live feed either over here on mine. It's kind of strange. I'm going to get out of it so I don't keep using up this bandwidth. I'm going to check out. That way, if that's what the issue is, it'll get better. So we've covered a couple different things. The things that you see when you're going through these survival stores that I think everybody should pick up when they get a chance. Collapsible 4-gallon water containers. I have rigid ones to throw in a vehicle, but you should have at least one collapsible one. So if you're just going to a stream, bringing the water back, filtering it, boiling it in another container, it's always good to do that. An entrenching tool, if only for hygiene purposes, getting rid of your waste products. Plus, like I said, digging the trench around your tent. An entrenching tool, for those of you that don't know, that's just a portable shovel. And I don't care if it's a World War II Swiss, you know, long wooden-handled folding over shovel, but something. You can get one of these high-speed Gerber ones if you want to. But
you can also sharpen it on two sides to use it to cut branches.
Yeah, I've used them. I've sharpened them, used them as kind of a light axe. But you should also maybe have a short-handled axe. I carry it's weird. It's an archaic-looking broadhead little mini-axe. It's like a hatchet. And I carry one of those, and then I've got a couple of your generic, you know, you get them at any hardware store, short-handled axes. Then I have a large axe, and then I have a maul, too, but I don't carry that.
Axe is inexpensively Harbor Freight.
Harbor Freight, yeah. Harbor Freight has that Chinese survival tool that has the hatchet on one side. On the top of it, you can pull nails. It's got, like, the tool to turn off your gas meter.
Was that the
See-A-Dig
one?
No, no. There's even, remember that video we got? This Chinese entrenching tool that was amazing. You sent it to me, I think, yeah. It was like, see it dig, see it climb.
There's an
instant cut metals.
Yeah, and they were cutting, like, pipe and everything else. And then they were dicing tomatoes. It was like a Ginsu commercial from China. It was an entrenching tool, a shovel that, that was razor sharp. And it had all kinds of stuff. You could pull nails with it. You could cut wire with it.
You actually chop things like an ice or make steps going up
an incline, an embankment.
Yeah.
But those are good to have. And the reason we have shovels is because the kids like to use the trees. But I don't want to walk around seeing stuff stuck to the trees. So if you dig a nice little cat hole, a trench, straddle it, do your business, and bury it. Who's ever coming behind you will thank you for it, even if they don't know about it. But the fact is, it's a health issue, and you have to do it. With the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a daughter here. She's 9 years old, and she thinks going to the bathroom outside is just the bee's knees. We're trying to use that phrase, the bee's knees, much more often. We're back to nature, folks, here. We're about as granola as you can get without actually being a hippie. We enjoy that type of stuff. So in the last half hour, that's what I was talking about, different survival things, different things that you can do. Don't forget the secondhand stores. Don't forget the. Let me know if we're on Liberty Tree Radio yet. If Ed comes in.
It's still down. Have the live feed.
Nobody has live feed. What are you telling me, Lou?
He said nope. Still down.
Warland can't get it, or Ed. I asked you about Ed.
I know Ed said that.
Okay. This is really weird. I think what happened was that we exceeded our bandwidth. I think getting over.
We're at 98%.
We're at 98%.
We should have 100.
Yeah, but it lags behind. Tomorrow it'll say 100, so I'll call them. They'll negotiate. We'll reset the bandwidth, and they told me that if it happened, we'd be able to reset it to 40% or something. Yeah. You taking your computer and going home, Stace?
Yeah, I'm taking.
Oh, you're moving over there.
Is my Bible in
your
car?
Yeah, all the Bibles are in the car. I think. Yeah. So. No, you can go get it. You don't send your mom to go get your Bible. You can wait. You don't need it right now. You got a Bible right in front of you there.
It's only New Testament.
Oh, yeah, like you need the Old Testament? What are you going to do? You need the Old Testament? I mean, you're going to read Leviticus now and learn how to wash your hands and stuff? But that's, you know, neither here nor there. The thing that we're getting ready to do tomorrow up here, like I said, is a show and tell. And a lot of people get intimidated by that because they think, well, a lot of people that are involved in this have been doing it for decades. Some people have just been doing it for a few weeks. It doesn't matter. You have to set your pride aside and also your braggadocious attitude when we do these things together. As Christian soldiers, we have to want to have an attitude. We need to have, we must have an attitude of helping and assisting one another. So it's real easy for the guy that has, you know, the Inspector Gadget guy that has everything to show off and brag about it, but that's not what it's all about. What?
It's an opportunity to learn from others without making the mistakes that they made.
Yeah, and you can learn from other people's mistakes, as our in-studio guest Steve from Southern California says. We, so often in this country, live with blinders on. We don't even know who our neighbors are. And you're not going to, I mean, think about it, living in a refugee status at the very worst to a survival group that's out being dynamic and active. You've got to strip those blinders off. And if you can learn from what other people have done, I mean, I've known people that have spent, you know, they send away for these survival kits and, you know, several hundred dollars and they get like basic hardware stuff that they could, did you just, what was that?
It was me.
Oh.
I pulled my cord.
Oh. It's basic stuff you can get at the hardware store for like $35. They just put it in the backpack that's not going to last. And
a fancy survival label on it.
Yeah, it's got a nice, you know, I always say if you put the word tactical or survival on anything, you can triple the price that it gets at the Harbor Freight.
Oh, just like when we went to Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, Bass Pro Shop. If you buy your stuff at Bass Pro Shop for survival gear.
Or Cabela's,
we, you know,
Cabela's better than you're, Bass Pro.
That you don't need to do that. But if you're able to do that, that's fine. But don't make other people in your realm, you know, of influence.
It's like you get a flannel shirt there for $30.
No side conversations in the studio. It's they're picking it up. But don't overwhelm people is what I'm trying to say. As I lost my train of thought there. Don't whip out all your Rescue Ranger stuff. You know, just show some people a few things, you know, that you maybe walked a harder path to discover what the solution was. You know, I know guys that, you know, there's like, well, I've got to have the top-notch anything, you know, the civilian available corporate gear I can get. I know other people that won't use anything unless it's military surplus.
If you're going to spend money on something important, make it your... like Swiss Army type knife, right. Don't get a cheap one, and like your Gerber or Leatherman tool, put your money into that and don't get cheap on that.
There's a lot of wisdom in that. A good knife will save your life, and that applies to whatever type of tools you're using. If you're going to allocate your fundage to what you're getting, get the things that you're going to use that would be a means of production, making your shelter, processing your food, creating weapons, you know, things like that. The primary tools that you use your secondary, less complex devices out of, you want to invest in that and pre-plan for that. That's right. See, I just have a Gerber tool. It was the first multiplier I ever had. This is my third or fourth one because they've been stolen by police, lost, you know, all kinds of stuff. Swiss Army knives, I've never had a good one. I've always bought the duplicates of them, but that's because I have the Gerber tool. But if I didn't have the Gerber tool, I would go out and buy a decent survival-type knife that has everything on it. And know what you're going to be doing. Maybe if you can't afford the Gerber tool, a pair of needle-nose pliers, a pair of side dykes, and some strips of hacksaw can go into a kit. You know, a couple little screwdrivers, things like that. You're going to add weight and bulk, but you're going to pay a lot less. I mean, what's a Gerber tool going for now? Oh, yep, there's the, this is the $15 Walmart one.
$10
Walmart one. Yep, I got one for Father's Day or my birthday 2 years ago. This is the exact same one I have in my survival pack.
That was exactly.
And I think it's, you know, what does this one say? Ozark Trail. And I've used it, and the only thing I found that it doesn't do And it doesn't cut really thick barbed wire, you know, but little wires, things like that. You've got, you know, you get your fish scaler, which I've never, ever used. Fish hook remover I've never used. I always use the needle nose. I prefer needle nose pliers over the blunt nose. Let me give that back to you. But, you know, if you want to go out and get a SOG or something like that, if you have the budget, but it's unwise to do that if you don't have a budget. Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying? What are you looking for, Lou? We're still on the air?
Well, no, Ed's not getting the live feed.
Where's he trying to get it from? From you, broadcaster?
Yeah.
That's really weird. It's like they cut off some people.
Omaha has the live feed, but it's a really big delay.
Yeah, I think we're not uploading anymore. I think we've lost our bandwidth today. I think we've exceeded 100%, and they shut us off, which means I have to call them. So we have to work on getting that phone number, and I'll take care of it. Just something we have to do. We won't be able to upload. Are you trying to use the internet over there?
Yeah, I'm on.
Is it working?
Yeah.
That's weird, so that's not what it is.
No, she's downloading now.
Yeah, but
she's
it's
not uploading.
It affects both.
Downloading anything.
It affects both. They said once they do it, they put you on suspension. It doesn't matter. If your download exceeds, they shut down your upload too. It's part of the internet use agreement thing. And it's just the nature of the beast for us doing this. If we're going to have to either get a second satellite or something. If we're going to continue doing the show, you know, we need to be able to do that. We're already paying $90 a month for this satellite, and, you know, so it's tough. But that's the perils of doing live webcasting. And, we could try to do it from the car again. We saw that was terrible. That was just horrible. We went to the parking lot and tried it. It was hot, uncomfortable. Lou kept trying to spill his soda on everything. But we'll continue on here. At least, you know, I know we have someone archiving it for us, and people will be able to listen to it over the weekend. So for that reason alone, I will continue to go on.
Might look in the front of the vehicle bug out of the good stuff for that to share with
them. Yeah, there's... Let me look here.
Do you want me to find it?
Is it in the same bug out section?
It's in the...
Here, find it for me. When I put together bug-out vehicles, I've always, you know, the obvious thing is, you, depending on what terrain you're going to be in, I always pick four-wheel drives. They've always been Suzukis with trailers, and now I've got a 4Runner, so I don't need the trailer, but I've got a roof rack on it, and I can do what I need to do. But it has to be a vehicle that you can remove and replace the basic components on. What good is it to have a vehicle if you're going out and you blow a water pump on the day of destruction? You have your extra water pump, but you don't know how to do it. Never depend upon anyone else to work on your vehicle. I know that's annoying, but you need to get a vehicle that is primitive enough and easy enough to access. So that pretty much limits anything made after, what, 76? I mean, I'm stuck with a 91 4Runner because it fell into our laps. But the Suzuki Samurais are a great option if you've got a small family and you can make a little combat trailer. And once you open the hood, you'll understand. They're very simple. They're like a little tiny four-cylinder, lots of room to move around. There's no weird angles that you can't get to something. And when I've driven them, and I've put hundreds of thousands of miles on them, both for recreation and competition for land nav courses, and as you know, volunteer disaster services workers, I've raced them in invitationals. I've done all kinds of stuff with Suzukis. And one thing I've noticed is when you're in low gear and you're just crawling through the trees, they get like 28 miles to the gallon. And they pull a lot of weight. You'd be surprised what you can get with them. I went over Rubicon, those of you that know what that is, up in Northern California, over the Rubicon Trail from California to Lake Tahoe in a just slightly overstock four-wheel drive Suzuki Samurai. It had a 3-inch lift with no lockers. Those of you that don't know that, a four-wheel drive isn't really a four-wheel drive off the shelf. It's left front, right rear move. And I changed the gearing a little bit, and I pulled a trailer, and I got through it. I did tip it over a couple times, but, you know, they're light enough, you can get out and tip it back over. You know, I did some body damage, dropped a drive line, but I got underneath it and replaced it, those kind of things. But I got over, like, 28 miles of some of the hardest trail in Northern California. I've done Sledgehammer in Southern California with Suzukis. You've got to know your vehicle. And you've got to pick routes that won't have those kind of hazards on them, but are still far enough off the beaten path. one of the concepts that people seem to forget, they put their bug out bag together, they throw a weapon up against the door, you know, in the closet, and they think they're going to fight their way out of town. You don't want to fight your way out of town. That is not the goal. It's like that old Monty Python skit. The goal is not to be seen. And you have to practice and study the area so that you don't draw attention to yourself. If they think you're moderately armed and have some survival gear on you, they're going to overpower you with manpower and risk, you know, taking a few out that they can get your gun, especially if they don't have a gun. Or if they've got a handgun and they see you're walking with an AR-15. So you've got to practice moving about in a hostile situation. And just because it's not martial law doesn't mean it won't be a hostile situation. Point in fact, LA Lakers win some stupid trophy last night, and they tear up their town. They break into cars. They burn cars. It happens all the time in these cities. And those of you that choose to live in the cities, whatever your reasons, I just couldn't do it. Can you imagine that that's how they act when something is happy? What's going to be what happen when things start falling apart? Now, get out of Dodge vehicles, and the dreaded trip out of Dodge is how he titles his chapter here in the book on it. And you're going to be surprised, because some of the things he recommends in here, like a used car, like a Geo Metro, Toyota Corolla, is good for day-to-day for serious preparedness planning. You may want to avoid the high cost and complexity of a hybrid. If you need four-wheel drive, consider buying a Subaru. I always wanted and never owned a Subaru Brat. I always wanted one. A Subaru Brat would just be an awesome bug-out vehicle if it's just you and one other person. All-wheel drive, they're not really a four-wheel drive, they're an all-wheel drive, and that's something that we can discuss in a later show. Older station wagons, that, you know, 1970s, that kind of thing, they got a big-wheel drive, and that's something that we can discuss in a later show. Older station wagons, that, you know, 1970s, that kind of thing, they got a big block engine. You won't get you'll get pitifully low gas mileage, he says, but you've got a roof rack, you can get everything in there, you got a V8, you got all kinds of protection in there. Plus, they're older technology that can be repaired if they use an EMP on us, if it's a terrorist attack or something along those lines. Now, motorcycles he has in here, he's got a whole bunch on it, but I would, to me, a motorcycle is something as if you can get, if you're on the edge of suburbia and you can get out of town fast, but if you're downtown, you're a moving target. Pick your routes like we've talked before about, you know, the Los Angeles River, those types of things. A motorcycle, you can hear them coming a long way off. They can prepare some type of vehicle trap. And all they're going to do is knock you off. And they won't even damage a motorcycle that bad, and they'll have a motor transportation, and they'll have your gear. I knew these guys, and they were vicious kids back where I grew up. At night, they would put duct tape between street signs where the new motorcycles were prone to go. And nail the guy with duct tape, and just it would knock him off the bike, not because the duct tape was strong, but because of the what was that kind of factor, and then they would steal the motorcycles. I talked about 100-pound test fishing string. You could take you could decapitate a person with it if they're not wearing, you know, and you get it at the right angle and they're flying. You know, those are, you know, different things you can do to route yourself, so it's kind of a two-sided coin there. But, however, motorized bicycles, like the ones they talk about on Liberty Tree Radio, they're excellent. Scooters, things that get high mileage, you know, once you get out of the area. The problem with most dirt bikes and stuff is they're just loud. Find a way to make them quieter and a little stealthier. Mountain bikes, you know, again, I would only say use that as your last-ditch effort if you're on the edge of suburbia, if you're in an urban interface situation. How are we doing? Give me a report, Commander.
Still broadcasting.
But, I mean, is anybody picking it up?
Olimar's getting a delay.
Yeah.
And Scotty38 says he could still hear it.
Okay, good.
Bicycles work well for stealthily getting around.
Yeah. Once you've made it to your hideout and to your refuge, bikes would be great. But you got to get a good bike. Don't go down to Walmart and buy an $80 bike with a one-piece crank and the bearings and everything will wear out and you're not going to be able to fix it up. You want to get a good bike, maybe get, you know, and then get all the spare parts you might need for it if you're going to be depending upon it for food gathering, security, or transportation, you know, out of the area later. But bug-out vehicles, one of the best cars I've ever found, and I saw another one yesterday, AMC Eagles. They have a Jeep motor. They're a sedan. They're four-wheel drive. I mean, I've seen them with, like, 401s in them. you know, they're like Pursuit Special engines from the center. And I saw, like, Road Warrior. That's like, you know, a 401, I think, is what goes in the, I can't remember, it was the Rambler, not the Matador. Anyway, it'll come to me later. But AMC Pacers, just because they have Jeep engines. And if you know Jeeps, you can get around them. But they just look like a car. Hey, why is that car a little beefier? Why does it get 235s on it? Those are truck-size tires. Great. I had a friend that had one for hunting, and we'd take that thing everywhere and strap dead deer all over it. You know, and people won't even notice it. It's an older car, you know, mid-70s, late early 70s. If I could get a hold of one of those, I would. I love AMCs. You know, I wouldn't get an AMC Pacer, even though they do have, like, 302s and stuff in them, or 304s, rather. But you want something. Get something with a standard gear shift and learn how to drive stick shift. You'll get better miles with a gear shift once you learn your motor's ins and outs. And it's easier to fix a gear shift than it is to run. Because, basically, for those of you who don't know, an automatic transmission is hydraulically run. And something goes out, you're done. You won't move. You lose a couple of gears in a stick shift, you can still get it going. And then, like, if your battery goes dead in a stick shift, you can bump start it. Our cars are parked on a hill. I went out, it was yesterday morning, and it's like, oh, I left the radio on in the Suzuki Samurai. We got a stripped down, lifted, like 5-inch lifted with 31s on it and stuff. And I left the radio on, but turned all the way down. I was like, why is it, you know? Went to push the button because my vehicle, it's a push button start. I go, hello, get me rolling backwards. So that's what we did. And then once I hit the hill, no problem. And she just seen Lou chasing after me. Thought I was going to leave him behind. He's not even listening.
There
he is. But, yeah, there's so many benefits to having gear shift vehicles, you know, standard shifters. I like staying with high mileage, so I like the Geo Trackers, the Sidekicks, the Suzuki Samurais, the Subaru Brats. And they used to be cheap. You could pick them up cheap, but now people are starting to realize the value of these foreign cars. Then you get the other side. You get an old 67 Ford and just bulletproof it, you know, and be able to carry lots of extra fuel. And, you know, so it depends on your economy. Pay now or pay later. Always have extra parts. Like I said, water pumps, alternators, things that you can remove and replace real fast and almost like in a pit crew attitude. Make sure you have all the wrenches and tools you need for that vehicle.
Belts and hoses.
Belts, hoses, air filters, oil filters, lubricants. I got to the point where I knew every bolt on my Suzuki Samurai, so I carried 3 wrenches and 1 socket set with 3 sockets. Because there's always that one you have to have something on the opposite side. There were 10, 12, 14, and 18-millimeter stuff. The 18-millimeters were the drain plugs on the differentials, transfer case, and that. So you had to have something that big. So I carried a socket that would fit over those drain plugs. So I can change, especially if you've gone through water. If you've had to ford a river, you got to change your lubricants and your transaxles. And if you've gotten it over the breather of your transfer case or transmission, you do it. So what I did, if you look at your differentials on, like, on a Suzuki Samurai, they have a pressure valve release. When the oil heats up in there, they want to be able to blow it out. But it's a one-way valve so that water can't get in. But they always wear out and water always gets in. So what I did is I popped mine off, took a piece of surgical, or it wasn't surgical tubing, but clear tubing, used a pipe clamp, put it over it, and then ran it up inside the chassis of the vehicle and put a little tiny air filter that fit in it. And clamped it down on there, and then just wired it like with baling wire. And ended up four of them, transfer case, transmission, and both differentials. So then I knew if I forded water, I could get up to a certain height without having to change the fluids, because it can get expensive, and tactically it would be a nightmare to have to do that. Bring extra axle seals for your vehicles. What we would do is, because we all had Suzuki Samurai, so there's your uniformity right there, we carry 4 springs with us, 2 rear and 2 front, but we would divvy them up between the group, and we welded bolts on the inside of the frame rails that were the perfect eye-to-eye, and you just bolt an extra spring on there. And everybody carried one. You know, and then we had guys that would, in their trailers, carry whole transmissions because they're light for Suzukis. That's a bit much. I would just break it down to what goes out: the pilot bearing, the shifter forks, carry those things. You might not, you know, but if you busted a housing, it'd be nice if you had it. We've never replaced anything that big on one of our runs when we were testing stuff, but you don't know what's going to happen. We've busted off axles. We've busted axles where the spindle end, actually, because you get too much traction, because some of these guys put huge gearing in the transfer cases, great big giant tires. You're down to like 4 pounds of PSI, and you'll twist off the end of that shaft. You can't weld it on. You can't do anything. So guys would carry extra axle shafts. We'd be out there in the middle of the night, you know, hammers, little flashlights on our forehead. Next day, we're good to go. But those were challenges that we were glad we got because they were trainable moments. We were doing it under no stress at this time because we're just taking our 2-week vacation and we're trying to get from San Bernardino, California to Phoenix, Arizona without doing it on pavement as soon as we leave Cajon Pass. And we did it. It's hard, but you can do it. We had to cross some pavement, but, you know, a few places where we were, we got noticed by aircraft, and they're like, what's that big convoy, like 20 vehicles, that, you know, going through? And then we decided one time we did it at nighttime. We wanted to see using extreme light discipline on our vehicles. We did the convoy light thing. We duct taped out all of our lights except for little slits on our taillights so you wouldn't run into anyone. We put glow stick lights on the back of our mirror so if you were right behind, you could see it, but you couldn't see it from the sky. And we went to just squeezing the microphone on our CBs for turn ahead. We had different number of squelch brakes the lead vehicle would do to tell us whether we went left or right, or if we continued straight. And then we called him the waist gunner, would give a couple squeezes to say that he passed the point. Then the tail gunner would do it, and we knew all the vehicles made it through that last intersection. Bug out vehicles are a whole major thing that you got to study and practice. I love it, and we'll be back after the break. I don't know who can hear me, but I'm going to keep doing it because you can hear it in the archives, even if no one's listening live right now. We'll be right back on the Dutch Jones radio program.
Through the generations, now the future is with me. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Who will answer cry for warriors? Who will be there the battle line? Who will lift up a prayer of courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred crown deserves no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Thank you.
message from your government. Although victory in Europe has been accomplished, the demands on our food supply have not been lessened. You can help relieve the food shortage by preserving your own fruits and vegetables. Home canning is a wartime necessity. Knowing the proper techniques and methods in home canning is important. And you can get expert advice by simply writing the Department of Agriculture, Washington 25, D.C. Remember, there must be no letdown this year. Home canning is one of the nation's most important jobs on the home front in 1945.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters use in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know it's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Where's the hit for you geniuses out there?
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention! Attention!
Attention!
This is an emergency.
Free
roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the gas stations, everybody. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
facts. Jerry's.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
I can barely hear you in my headphones. Okay, how am I doing? Am I pounding the meter there? Look. It's okay? It's good?
No, it's okay.
Okay, let me bring it down a little bit. How about that? No, I don't want to. See, on that computer, it goes off hot. And I don't hear it in my... I just hit my elbow on the headphones. Let me just do this. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, folks, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Now I'm hearing, like, myself on your microphone. I had to turn yours down a little bit. And this is our last half hour. We're having all kinds of technical problems, but that's... par for the course with Guerrilla Radio, and that's really what this is underground radio. This is not Guerrilla like G-O-R-I-L-L-A. People do say I do look like a hairless gorilla from time to time.
G-U-E.
Yeah, Guerrilla. I gotta say Guerrilla. But we're talking about bug-out vehicles, and I'm sharing some of my experience with you guys. You do what your budget allows you to do. If all you have is a 1972 Matador, do the best you can with it. What's that?
Whatever you get a shop repair manual so you know how to do everything on it.
Don't get the Haynes manual. Get the shop manual. Right. The Haynes manual will leave you hanging. Before the break, we were talking about extra hoses, all this kind of stuff. Find out what repairs can be done in the field and get those parts. Find out what kind of, you know, tools are needed, you know, gear pullers. I found out one time the axle housing seal for a Suzuki Samurai is the exact same size as a Maglite front face. Because you got to get it in there and you got to seat it perfectly over the race and then put the axle housing back in where the bearing race is. And we're like, what do we do? What do we do? And we're going around looking for things that are the right size. I took my D-cell Maglite and went, it fits perfectly. So I took it, put it on there, and just tapped it slightly in with a ball peen hammer and seated the axle seal. So after that, everybody just started using their Maglites, the big D-cell ones, fit perfectly. We also found out that a Dr. Pepper can is also the same outside diameter as the outside diameter if you have to fabricate a new spring seat that gets crushed or broken out of a chunk of metal that you find in a in an old mine shaft in Death Valley, by the way. Yeah, aluminum cans work great over hoses when they ruptured. You know, everybody duct tape, extra fan belts, the whole thing. I once saw a guy make a fan belt out of duct tape. I mean, just strand after strand after strand after strand after strand. He just kept wrapping it around and folding it, and it held till we got someplace because he had some other vehicle. I think it was a Ram Charger, and we didn't have anything that would fit on a Ram Charger. We had all Japanese vehicles. And so that's what we did. That was out of... Hey, Anthea, you're going to stab yourself. Stop doing that. She's whittling a dolphin out of a chunk of wood with her little fake Swiss Army knife, and you weren't handling it well. Wait till I can show you how to do that, okay? I don't want you to slice your fingers open because that's nice, a little sharp. Try and integrate as much as you can into the vehicle as possible. I'm not talking about making stash areas for smuggling, but like what I did, the tailgate of the Suzuki Samurai had some, you know, cheap vinyl wafer board stuff on it. I took it off, and there was all this extra storage space back there. What I did is I welded a hinge onto my Harbor Freight bought camp stove and put it in there so it would fold in. It was a little wood burner stove that folded nicely up in there, and it was out of the way. And it rattled a little bit, so I padded it with a bunch of this stuff that I have right here because I carry it everywhere I go. Sleeping bag foam, you know, you put underneath the mattress. Now here, listen. See, I really have it in my hand. This isn't theater of the mind. I'm actually doing this stuff. And my little I always had a camp stove. And I could hook it to a propane bottle or, you know, whatever there, and it just folded out. I rigged a solar shower up on my roof rack. All the tubing and everything was there, and I could fold it out, and I just had to hook up my big black bladder bag, and I had a little pull chain. People would look at me and just freak out. They're like, this guy's got everything. What? Oh, Stacy's fondling her Mini 14 magazines and threatening me with them. I don't know why you're doing that. And then the other thing I learned is that we welded tubing up over the exposed headers, and we had water heaters. And that was a great way to do that. People were learning. I was famous, and I've shared this before, for cooking on my engine block. I knew what RPMs, what distance, what time I could cook something, you know, or heat up. Mostly it was heat up. I did a lot of the aluminum foil cooking where you just throw everything together, and then we even got to the point where on one of my vehicles I welded basically a real thin steel box, and I could just throw stuff in it. And when I went in to get auto emissions done, they're like, what is that? You can't have that. What is that? And I said, oh, it's a cooking device. It comes on all the Japanese models. I'm from Japan. I never see anything like that. You know, and I said, well, it's new. I bought a new header and put it on there. They didn't like me altering the vehicle, you know, California is. But it was a little oven with a little lid on it, and I could throw stuff in it. I even had a temperature gauge on it. So, you burn stuff if you're, like, going downhill in low gear. You create all this back pressure in the header, and it's like blah, 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 and it heats it up. So you learn. I think I just swallowed a bug. Hang on.
That's your dinner.
Mm-hmm. So your bug-out vehicle can be as James Bond as you want it or as frugal as you want it, but that doesn't mean it can't be functional. Every extra inch of space can be used for something. You see all these four-wheel drives out there with these big black tube bumpers? We had a guy in our group. He capped off, welded off the tubes, put a little Schrader valve on it, and used it as a portable compressed air cylinder. He had three of them up front of his vehicle, and he got in there and cut openings to all of them, so it was one big thing. And he loaded that thing up with like 140 PSI, and then whenever he had a flat tire, you know, because we'd air down, and I'll talk about that later, why you would air down, to air up, he would use that to air his tires back up so that we could get on pavement and, you know, he could drive around. People mounted air compressors under the hood. You get these little survival air compressors. They would hook them directly to the battery under the hood, replace the short little hose you get with like an 8 foot for a Samurai, this is long enough, and you could air up all your tires.
Also get a trace inverter for your vehicle.
Yeah, we have inverters. a minimum of 300 watts, so you can run all. I've run soldering irons off mine, but I also had butane soldering irons for when we had wiring problems. I once replaced an entire wiring harness with just red and black wires. Nightmare for whoever had to work on it next. But we had some water from Pismo, the ocean, got up underneath there, and we had to get this guy home, so we just strand after strand after strand. If you look under my current Suzuki Samurai, I've got nothing but patch panels and everything under there because the same thing happened. The wiring harness wore out. You call Suzuki, oh, it's $700. But I only paid $200 for the Suzuki. Oh, it's $700 for wiring harness. So you just start one at a time. I took the ignition out, flip a switch, push button, start. You've got to know your vehicle. Yeah, I lost my keys in a lake, so I'm out there in the field doing this. I've done that more than once. Had to get out in the field and go, what are we going to do now? For our Suzuki Samurais, we all made them fold-down windshield kits for rapid route recon. We didn't want to have to sheet through our windshield. We put in six-point roll cages, so that would protect us from any piano wire events that we were talking about earlier. But we tried everything we could think of. And it became almost a competition to see who could come up with not the most expensive thing, but the simplest little trick that made it so you could do something. Like even installing cup holders on the roll cage from a bicycle. You know how on a 10-speed bike or mountain bike, you've got the water bottle holders? People were drilling holes in their roll cages and putting those in there so everybody had water. Mine didn't have air conditioning, so in the summer it was unbearable, but we still did desert runs to be used to them to see how the vehicles would handle. I put up a misting system inside mine, a pressurized hand pump misting system. That's how I stayed cool. Yeah, I've got an electric DC fan in there. Going back to the inverters, we've used those for running everything from computers to drills and grinders. Portable welders I've talked about before. Underhood welders just cost a fortune. But you can go out there and find what I call a backpack welder from... Hospital Campbell, they make a rechargeable welder that you plug into your wall. It'll do a 60-inch bead on, it's a MIG feed flux core. They were like $250 10 years ago. I don't know what they would be now. But they look like those jump start kits that you get. But instead of having one side be the positive, you know, you have the black jumper cable that you hook at the ground. But the other side, they put a wire MIG feed. And I have no doubt that some of you guys out there listening to this could do that. You just order a handheld wire feed system for flux core, and you hook it to one of those jumpers, you know. And you just have to have a way to charge it up DC-wise, so you drive around. That's what I did with mine. I made it so that when I drove around, it would charge it. One of the key things you want to do if you're going to do that is change your alternator, upgrade it. Go to a junkyard, find an old GM alternator, figure out the wiring. You do this online, how to put a new plug on it. Yeah, you get some giant Cadillac alternators. You can run impact wrenches. Put extra batteries in. Figure out a way to hook up the proper circuit. Have a battery isolator system. So that if one battery goes dead, which one time in the dead of winter in Utah, I was just north of St. George at a rest area. It was about 20 below zero. We pulled over. We put the sleeping bags all up around the windows inside so it would stay a little warmer. And then we did that. And my primary battery went dead because of something I did. I can't remember what I left. I think I left my CB on or something, and the cold. All I had to do was get out and flip my battery switch, and it went to the battery that was stored in the back that stayed warm. And I started my car. Everybody else, I went around jump-starting everybody. I go, you don't laugh now. I got two batteries. Everybody thought it was funny that I needed two batteries for a Suzuki, and they were huge. Don't buy the minimum cranking amps. If your vehicle requires 350 cranking amps, get a 1,000 cranking amp battery. You'll appreciate it in the long run. If it won't fit in the tray, get that Makita grinder out and start removing fender well. Make it fit. Because you don't know what you're going to be powering. You don't know how long you'll have to be on backup power if you're monitoring a radio. Those types of things come in handy. And Interstate Battery makes some great batteries. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries. If you've got your primary battery, they're a Christian company too? I didn't know that. And then you get your backup battery, let it be a deep cell boat battery. They'll hold charges longer. We talked a little bit last hour about the solar panels. I just got a prayer request from one of the listeners, popped up on my instant messenger. Somebody's getting pounded with weather. I don't know where it's at. There's tornadoes, and they're asking for prayer requests. I don't know where it is, but God knows where it is. So this person that just instant messaged me, most people don't do that, says they're getting biblical proportion weather where they're at. I'll ask, where are you? So she's listening right now. let me know where you are, and I'll put it out. So be praying for the weather. I know Minnesota had some bad weather yesterday, and we had Minnesota Patriot talking about that. But anything you can do now in peacetime that you can afford a nickel here, a nickel there, do it to your vehicle. Window tinting. Whatever's legal in your state, do that. One, it's good for security. Two, it'll help keep your gear cool, and it'll help break down on the UV damage of anything that you store in your vehicle. Because if you're like me, right now, out in my vehicle, there are six backpacks full of stuff. And the windows are tinted, you know, the way they designed it. But if you can go a few shades later, because you don't want to go grabbing your rucksack and find out that the UV impact has destroyed the straps. So anything you can do to maintain it, park it inside, keep it cool. But where we are, we don't have garages. So that's what we, you know, deal with that. It's the little things you're going to forget about. You may think changing a windshield wiper in a rainstorm is an inconvenience now. Wait until it's a torrential downpour and you're being chased, and your windshield wiper goes bad and you can't see that windy road. I've seen people drive off of switchbacks because they were too cheap and lazy to replace their windshield wipers on their 4x4. Oh, it's fine, I can see everything. Get the defogging agents that you can, Rain-X, anything like that. Pre-treat your windshields before you need it, and do it every year. You know, it's good to do every little thing that's going to help you not have to worry about the vehicle, and you can focus on the mission at hand or the you know, escape and evasion. That's what you want to do. Cover those areas now. Learn how to use a plug tire patch system. They still sell them. I know they're illegal in California, but you can still do it. This person isn't IMing me back, so I don't know where it is. There's tornadoes hitting somewhere. But I had one tire that had 12 plugs in it. And I remember everybody used to laugh at it, but I never had to take and change a tire on the trail. I just, oh, it's, you could hear, psst, you know, you hit a tree root or a sharp rock or something. I'd get out my plugging system, clean it out, put it in, keep going. Use my under-the-hood air compressor and air it back up. Airing down your tires, you've heard me say that a few times. People go, why would you want to do that? To gain more traction on sand or rocks. If you're rock crawling slow and low, low gear, not low profile, you find out what the sidewall rating is for your off-road tires, because some places you do that and it just slices them open. But like IPF Goodrich all-terrains or mud terrains, you can air down to like 6 to 8 pounds, not 68, 6 to 8 pounds, and it will quadruple your traction.
More flotation
on sand. Any of you that are sand buggy guys, you know what I'm talking about?
And mud.
It stinks when you get back on the road. You can eat up your sidewalls. That's why it's good to have, what? An air compressor to air them back up. On the other side, go ahead and carry that Gorilla Snot tire repair stuff. If you're going to get your tire fixed at a gas station later, they hate you for it because they're going to clean the tire out. But I'm talking survival here. Carry at least two spare tires if you can, because you don't. If they're damaged to the point where you can't plug them, then you know, be able to do that. Tire changing tools. You may salvage tires off of a vehicle that's been abandoned or burned, but the tires are still good. Do you know how to use the hand irons? I mean, some cars used to have them. They'd have the little. Everybody thinks that's just to take the hubcap off. You take two of those, you can learn to take a tire off. I worked in a tire shop. How do you inflate? What was that?
Extra oil and trans fluid.
Oh, yeah, all your LOF. Lube, oil, and filter, you want to carry that stuff. Here's a little farmer's trick for you. Let's say you got a pretty big tire in your four-wheel drive and you can't get it to seat. You got a little bit of mud in there or something and you're in a hurry. And, you know, you clean up the bead of the tire, you clean up the rim of the tire. Or if it's bent, get a tire straightening tool, too. Those are hard to find these days. You straighten the steel rim. Don't have alloy rims. I don't care what it saves you in lightweight, they break. The only thing they're good for is throwing them in the campfire and having a magnesium fire. That's why they call them mags. You steel rims, you bend them back into shape, but you can't get that tire to seat. Well, you clean it out the best you can. You take lighter fluid, whatever you can, and you fill the tire up. You step back and you do the old flip a match into it. The explosion will seat the tire. Don't be anywhere near it. I have seen tires flip up in the air. I'm talking tractor tires. I learned this from old style farmers, you know. Real old farmers that would do this stuff. What's rattling?
That must be a cat jumping up on the roof. Or turkeys
jumping. Something's jumping on the roof out there. Take a look at
that. Must be a turkey.
Yeah, we have turkeys that like to dance on the roof. The toms fight it out there. I just hear the windows rattling. But, you know, don't try that if you've never done it. Find an old guy and have him do it. Is there anything out there? Lou, just climb out the window. 200 drop to fall to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't do it without an experienced person.
Yeah, don't do it yourself, especially if you've, you know, I doubt any of you still have split rims, but they will come off and they will kill you. But that's one way to seat a tire if you can't get it to seat. Another way, you know those ratcheting tie downs? Wrap it around your tire, especially if it's like a 2-inch one. Ratchet it, and compress it onto the rim. And if you position it just right, it takes some know-how, but don't get your hands anywhere near the rim and the bead of the tire. It will give you a blood blister like you'll never believe. I've seen it happen. It'll break your finger if it's in there. And you just start airing it up, and it'll slowly come up. This is where you use your dish soap. You take some dish soap and a rag before you do this. You rub it around the metal rim.
And the tire.
And what it'll do is it'll help it seat. It'll help seal it, plus it'll lubricate it. That's how we did it in a tire shop. Great way of doing it. Carry some tubes. Carry a couple tire tubes if that's all you got. Just, you know, you can put it in a tire and extend the life of that tire. If, say, it's got a sidewall that's ripped out, glue that thing with whatever you got, put a tube in it, you still can use the tread. Just be delicate with it. But we're talking survival stuff here. Throw nothing away you can't that you can possibly use for anything else. Even just make a bullet stopper out of that tire by filling it full of sand. Just laying it down somewhere. Use it for a planter for taters, like we were talking about earlier. What do I got here? Okay, so as you can imagine, I can go nuts on the bug-out vehicle. Lights, external lights that you can use for setting up camp, for blinding your enemy, all kinds of things. Ooh, that's what it was. No, I want to see his survival knife first. Lee got he's getting his, is that a Marine survival knife?
Yeah.
He's all excited now. You can hear my
knife. Yeah. Majors has that for $9.
What?
Well, plus shipping.
How much did you pay for that knife?
I paid $5, but shipping was...
Oh, if it's $5, that's a good price.
Yeah, he got it for $5.
Shipping was more.
Yeah.
It's like $10 shipping.
Yeah, bud case. So it works out. It's probably 6 of one, half a dozen of the other, you know. But vehicles are an amazing thing, and you got to keep them working.
Oh, you got Tonto good. Yeah.
You want to make sure that you know how to fix things, little wiring things. Carry fusible links with you. I replaced all my fusible links with removable relays. So that way if they decide to go for whatever reason, you know, the relay kicks off, you can stop the vehicle and figure out what's wrong. Because you don't want to hardwire them because you can do more damage. But know where the people go, what's a fusible link? You need to know what that is in your wiring system. make sure you have a CB at very least in there, 2 meter 440 radio, FRS radio, maybe a charging unit in there for your FRS if you're using rechargeable batteries. Communication is key. Carry extra bulbs for your headlights if it's a newer vehicle, or a couple extra headlights. Taillights and stuff like that. Now I'm talking if we're in a martial law situation. I mean, how many stories have ended miserably when the guy gets pulled over for having a broken taillight, even if it's true? It's sad. You know, don't be a statistic because, you know, you didn't prep your vehicle. That's another thing. Systematically, every month, do a 360 walk around your vehicle, climb under your vehicle, and go on top of your vehicle.
Come up with your own checklist. Make sure everything.
Create a checklist. PMCS, preventive maintenance. What is PMCS? Preventive maintenance and care sheet. Things that you look at. Check the windshield wipers. See if they've corroded to the windshield, and as soon as you turn them on, it's going to rip off their window, their wiping blade. Check your windshield washing solutions. Check your radiator from time to time. I know people that have driven their vehicle, it starts to overheat, they stop, and it's all drained out.
Windshield washing, just use water in case you need to use it for the
radiator. Drinking, yeah.
Stuff,
yeah. Yeah, water's good. You know, the blue bug stuff is great, but our studio audience member recommended just using water. Don't just use water in your radiator, though, because that causes problems for overheating and corrosion. What, Anthea?
Nothing.
Oh. Okay, come over and started counting. I thought something was up. I'm trying to think as I'm running down here. If you use a roof rack, use duffel bags. Don't just throw your stuff up there and throw a tarp over it. It'll blow off. I don't care how good a packer you are. You were a longshoreman for 30 years. I've never seen a tarp stay on a roof rack. Get giant duffel bags that are weatherproof. Put a little effort into them. The military duffel bags work fine. Put all your gear in the duffel bags. Make sure that, you know, they got a proper coating of the weatherproofing on them. And just strap those down. Ratchet straps are far superior to bungees. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a guy catch a bungee in the face because he's pushing it past its theoretical limit because he wants to make sure everything's tight. A ratchet strap is the best. And I know Harbor Freight has camouflage ones for those of you that have to stay camouflage. Just don't get blaze orange or something. Get black. Spray paint the brass ratchets. You know, hit them with a quick coat of dull OD green or flat something. That's the other thing. Keep cans of different colors flat in your vehicle. They're going to be looking for people that are going around the checkpoints. And if a witness said, yeah, it was a giant blue Suburban that went by. As soon as you get out of that area of operation, spray paint your whole vehicle flat black, flat green. You know, some people who love their Trailer Queen vehicles, they go, I could never do that. I go, well, then they're going to spot you from the sky easier. Carry a cargo net that'll cover your vehicle because it takes a lot of brush and a lot of rotation to keep it looking lush if you're going to just stash it. Start out with a cargo net, throw some natural foliage into it, make it a little easier. One of the things you can do is get thermal blankets, and I'm not talking about the kind that you use to protect yourself. I'm talking about like the kinds diesel people use to keep their engines warm. Cover your engine with it when you're parked. It'll help cover the heat signature from flare from the sky. I've tested this with SWAT in some trainings where I was the op 4, and it worked. Their helicopter could not see the engine heat after we parked a vehicle for about 15 to 20 minutes in Southern California. And also, when we hit under the thermal blanket, it hit our signature. It's bright, shiny silver. I don't know. Well, that's the end of the show today. I hope, hopefully, you guys will pick it up on the replay. We had transmission problems. Help us out. We need to get more bandwidth. We'll be back Monday, but listen to the replay over and over and over again at the archives. You can find the archives at dutchjones.tk. And we'll be back. God bless you and all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. And you want to say goodbye?
Good night, and the sword is heavy and the battle is hard.
Right, she remembered it. Good job. And Lou, you got anything you want to say? Meep.
Turn off the lights when you leave a room.
Yeah, turn off the lights when you leave a room. That's Lou. We'll see you Monday. Hope you have a great weekend. And we pray for those people that are experiencing hazardous weather wherever you are.